There was a Christian couple that wanted to adopt a dog, and they went to a pet shop to look for one. They saw a sign which said, "We have Christian puppies." So they asked the owner of the pet shop, "How do you know they are Christian puppies?" "Watch," said the owner, as he took out one of the dogs. He said to the dog, "Fetch the Bible." The dog ran over to the desk and grabbed the Bible in his mouth and returned. Putting the Bible on the floor, the owner said, "Find Psalm 23. The dog opened the Bible and began to flip the pages. When he reached the right page, she stopped. Amazed and delighted, the couple purchased the dog and went back home. That evening, they could not wait until the weekend. So that evening, they invited their friends and neighbors and to show them their new dog's tricks. Very impressed, one of the guests asked, "Does she know regular commands too?" The husband replied, "Oh, gee, I don't know. We haven't tried, but we can do it now." Turning to the dog, the husband said, "Sit." The dog sat. He said, "Lie down." The dog lay down. He said, "Roll over." And the dog rolled over. And he said, "Heel." The dog ran over to him, jumped up on his lap, put both paws on his forehead, and bowed her head. The wife exclaimed, "Look, our dog is Pentecostal!" Many people believe the word Pentecost or Pentecostal belongs only to the Christian denomination called the Pentecostal Church. And the images that come to our minds when we think of that particular denominational church are not that positive. They worship God with shouting, and their worship service is long as they pray aloud. And many would speak in tongues and lay their hands to perform miracles of healing. Sometimes, I have not been to one yet, but when we see the YouTube videos, you can see it's like their service is not orderly. It can be confusing, as so many people would do different things beside their pastor. But actually, those words, Pentecost or Pentecostal, do not just belong to the Pentecostal churches, but to all Christian churches, regardless of their denominational affiliation. Along with Christmas and Easter, Pentecost is a major festival of the church. It is a day of remembrance and celebration of the day when the early church received the Holy Spirit for the first time. The book of Genesis records that in the beginning of the world, God created Adam, the first human being from the dust of the ground. But he did not become a living being until God breathed into him the Ruach. Can you say that word, confirmant? Ruach. Ruach, yes. It's a Hebrew word translated the breath of life, the wind, the spirit. So in other words, Adam became alive through the Holy Spirit. Likewise, Jesus Christ created a new community of believers through his ministry and sacrifice. But it did not become alive until the day of Pentecost. That day, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, came to breathe into the first followers of Jesus. When they received the Holy Spirit, they became a living thing, a living organism called the church. So we celebrate this particular day as the birthday of the church. The word Pentecost literally means 50th or 50th day. And today marks 50 days after Easter. And red is the liturgical color for this day, Pentecost. On the banners of our sanctuary, we see the color red and other colors representing the tongues of flame which rested upon the disciples and other followers. And many of us are wearing red today to symbolize the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us and the presence of God among us. Pentecost is a Greek word for Shavuot. Can you say that word, Shavuot? Shavuot. One of the three major Jewish holidays. The other two major holidays, Jewish holidays, are Tabernacles and Passover. Celebrated 50 days after the observance of Passover, Shavuot, or Pentecost in Greek, or the Feast of Weeks in English, has a double significance. Originally, Pentecost was an agricultural festival. People would go to the Jerusalem temple with the first fruit of their labor in the fields as an offering, giving thanks to God. Later, the concept of this ancient grain harvest festival was expanded to include the celebration of the anniversary of the day when God gave the Torah, the law, to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. So for both the Jewish believers and Christian believers, Pentecost is a day on which we celebrate receiving God's gift. For the Israelites, the divine gift was Torah. And for the early church, it was the Holy Spirit. So what happened when the community of the first Christian believers received the Holy Spirit for the first time? As we heard from today's scripture reading, they began to talk about the wonders of God in many different languages. That was the very first thing that happened to them. The power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to testify to the diverse group of Jews who traveled from near and far to Jerusalem for this festival, Shavuot. The power of the Holy Spirit helped them to overcome the language barriers standing in the way of them articulating and sharing their faith with others. The book of Acts records this, that the Jewish agricultural festival resulted in a great harvest of 3,000 new people, new believers for the first Christian community. The great harvest, this wonderful, amazing harvest of converts happened after the power of the Holy Spirit was on full display in the community of believers. We have to remember that only several weeks prior to this happening, Jesus' disciples had run away and were hiding in fear when their rabbi was arrested and crucified. Peter, the head disciple, even denied Jesus, his master, his rabbi, three times. But on the day of Pentecost, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they all, not just few people among them, but all, boldly testified to God's mighty deeds in Jesus Christ. How did these people, the disciples and other followers of Jesus, go from cowardly to courageous, from frightened to fearless in such a short span of time? How did Peter go from denying Jesus to a lowly servant woman to declaring him as a Messiah before a crowd of devout Jews? It was not because they did anything. There was no dramatic change they had to achieve for themselves. Rather, they had to wait to receive. They had to wait for what God, Jesus had promised them before leaving them. They had to receive the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that changed them forever. Simple. It was the power of the Holy Spirit working in through them that changed the world forever. Today, we need the same power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit by which we were baptized, at work in our lives. We need the power of the Holy Spirit so that we also can be bold witnesses of Jesus Christ in the world. Then how can we receive the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to his disciples, a promise we inherit as the body of Christ? I think the answer to this question is found in the very beginning of the story of Pentecost recorded in the book of Acts, the very story that we heard. It reads, on the day of Pentecost, all the Lord's followers were together in one place. Before the Holy Spirit came to the first followers of Jesus, they were gathered together in one place, as we are now. Why were they together? It was because Jesus had asked them to do so. He had asked them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He specifically said, stay in Jerusalem, though it was a dangerous place for the disciples after the death of Jesus, after the terrible incident, yet you stay in Jerusalem. And they did. They stayed together and waited for the Holy Spirit. They gathered together, engaged themselves in prayer as well as in the business of their life as a community, as they were forming, newly forming. Together, they were about 120 people. Do you hear it? Can you see it? The first appearance of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament was not to individuals. Though we would like to receive the Holy Spirit individually, it was not just to individual person. It was not God was telling Mary, you are the first to receive the Holy Spirit. Peter, you are the first, we're the second to receive the Holy Spirit. No. It was not to individuals. It was not limited to a selective group of people. That could happen. The Holy Spirit could have just come down to just the first disciples of Christ. Without Judah, probably 11 disciples, because they were the ones who traveled with Jesus all the time, whom Jesus most favored. Or the Holy Spirit could have come down to the women who never abandoned Jesus but followed him all the way to the cross and to the grave. Instead, the Holy Spirit descended upon the whole body of followers of Jesus on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit showed up for Jesus' followers when they were together in worship and prayer. The coming of the Holy Spirit in the early church was not an individual experience, but a communal one. And what the Holy Spirit did was to help them. The helper descended upon the whole community of Jesus' followers, and they became bold in their witnessing. As a result of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, the community grew in number. This is the story of the birth of the church. So, how do you know that a Christian believer is filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of a Christian believer? According to this very story of the Pentecost, the story of the birth of Christian church, he is strongly connected to his church. She is fully connected to her church. It is the Holy Spirit that draws you into the church. It is the Holy Spirit that helps you stay connected to the church where you worship. It is the Holy Spirit that helps you be involved in the ministries of your church with a joyful generosity and endurance. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts you to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ and helps you draw other people to the church simply by testifying to God's mighty deeds at work in you and through you. It is the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that helps you see beyond the barriers you put up and break down those barriers so you can be out there with all God's people who need to hear the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. So Campbell Church family, especially this class, 2019 class of confirmants, on this day of celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit on the community of the first Christian believers, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon you too, to all of us. Filled with the Holy Spirit, may we too, all, not just some of us, but all be bold witnesses of Jesus Christ in the world. May the power of the Holy Spirit increase our faith and help us live it out in the world with conviction. Amen.